Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Caller 515-602-9731. You'll probably conversation just hit one. So appreciate everybody joining us. And I was just looking at the news, and top of the list in the last 12 hours, a California Tesla truck broke down, and they sent out a service truck, a regular service truck, like everybody else's service trucks. It's like, well, damn, that doesn't really help much, does it? The electric trucks out there, zero emissions, but when it breaks down, we got to send the high emission vehicle out there to save it. Everybody knew it was going to happen. I mean, come on, you know. Still got tires. Tires go, you know. Self-driving truck is, the funny thing is like, how does the computer know when the tire's about to go? It doesn't. So the tire goes, the truck's broke down. The truck's going to keep going until the tire goes. You know, drivers, we spot tires as we stop. We check the tires, you know. And people think, oh, it's an easy job. We can get somebody to do that cheap. That's no big deal. Yeah, okay, good luck with that. But anyway, Redneckinize Radio, we're out here trying to help drivers be better drivers. And one of them is trying to get through all this electric self-driving crap. And, just stay safe out there on the road. So give us a holler, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining along and be part of the conversation. Just hit one. I was looking at other things going on out there in the world, and it was, you know, a lot of the news is talking about this, this Switzerland thing that's going on with the elitist out there with the climate change and the economics, how, you know, everybody there is pushing for this whole, you know, socialist agenda where we got to take money from the wealthy and give it, you know, and then they're like, what about you? Like, no, not us. No, we're not wealthy. You know, we're just elite, that kind of thing. But, what I always thought was funny was that in the trucking industry, what we can see is we can see it happening in the trucking industry when it comes to, like, elitists and people with money. Because as we can see throughout the whole system of American, you know, economics, is that when there is money to be made, people with money will go there, right? And so I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, there's been, I've had my share of good bosses and I've had my share of really bad bosses. And what I've always concluded is that when the boss doesn't know anything about what you're doing and they are willing to admit that, they said, now I'm in charge. I don't know what you need. You know, they come up to you a lot of times, you know, and they'll say, what do you need to get that done? And you tell them, and they're like, do it, whatever it takes. You know, whatever that takes. You told me you need this. So get that and do it. And you do it. You know, you get it, right? But then that's always a one guy. You always see the one guy doing that. They either own the company or they control the credit card or you know, control the expenses. And they're like, I need it done. You know, let's get it done. Now, a lot of times those guys don't last in the company a long time unless they're, you know, in cahoots with the owner or whoever controls everything or unless, you know, things just really, really look good. But whenever you see, like, the company get in turmoil where, you know, oh, the business, you know, stock market's down, business is bad, who's going to run away or who are we going to chase away? And it's always going to be that guy that all the people love. And that's usually what happens. And it just, you know, I don't know. It's hard to come up with some examples, but it's just weird to me how we see it all the time where the corporations, they'll implement a new policy. And all the drivers, dispatchers, everybody, they're like, that's stupid. But that's what they say they want. So we do it. And you see a lot of people, you know, I do a job. The job is I do what they tell me, you know. Truck drivers don't see it that way. It's funny to me that, you know, there is a sense that we conflict with each other is some truck drivers, but most dispatchers have this mentality is that I have a job. The job is I do what they tell me to do, okay? Most truck drivers are I have a job. My job is to drive the truck, you know, and do the job, regardless of what they tell me. It's like when they tell me to do something, I'm necessarily not going to do it because I know it's not the right thing to do. It's not the smart thing to do. It's not the common sense thing to do. And we get in trouble for that a lot of times, you know. But what we see is we see these corporations implement these policies, and, of course, we follow them, you know, until we get tired of following them. And they claim they know better. You know, they always claim they know better. And then what we end up seeing is that it always reverts back to, you know, the common sense stuff to get things done. And those policies end up going away over time. Things like that. And because just like in society, there are traditional practices that, you know, allow society to flourish. Well, in truck driving, the best way to do a job is to let somebody that knows what they're doing do it. Instead of trying to come in and saying, well, I've got a college degree. Surely there's a more feasible way of doing this. And we got nobody to blame but ourselves and the truck drivers, okay? Because even back in the day, a perfect example is Walmart. Walmart, big supporter of truck drivers back in the day when they first started in the 70s and 80s, right? And truck drivers were like, you know, you need, well, I mean, basically what it was Walmart says, I need that freight hauled. Truck drivers are the backbone of this country. I support all the truck drivers. Truck drivers are awesome. Hey, truck drivers, haul my freight for me. And they're like, sure, no problem. And it was basically an honor system where, and of course, technology really wasn't there. And Walmart was really trying to help the independents and all that. And they said, you know, they said, hey, look, you know, we'll pay you point A to point B. You know, you just tell us how many miles you drove. And then next thing you know, all those owner operators, they were like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's, we had to go out a route or they were just filling it out. And every now and then they just goose it. And goose it, and goose it, and goose it. Well, when you got a multi-million-dollar corporation where you're trying to watch every penny because you're spending a lot of money, and the last thing you want to do is cut off those truck drivers because they're the backbone. They're awesome. And you come to find out, well, not really, you know. And that's what happened, is that the Walmart said, you know, hey, you guys are making a lot of money. We could go over here and do this ourselves and save a bunch of money and buy our equipment. And, of course, you come to find out Freightliner, Peterbilt, all these companies, you know, they're not making trucks for the truck driver. They're making a mass production of trucks so that they could sell cheap to these companies. And the companies are the ones buying all the trucks, you know, and that kind of thing. So when you start seeing those, you know, and they always say owner-operator specs, you know, so you are, if you were buying your own truck, you always look for that, but then it was hard to find those trucks because most of the used trucks being sold are all the old trucks the fleets had. They were fleet trucks, which means they had certain things done. They didn't have nice stuff in them sometimes and all that. And then it just, now it's a common thing. It's like, you know, used to, if you walked into a dealership and you wanted to order the truck, oh man, they'd kiss your butt. Oh, dude, you walk in there and they say, sit in here, you know, have something to eat. We'll buy you lunch. You know, what do you want in the truck? Let's ride it all out. Let's do it. Nowadays, no, they ain't doing it. You walk in and you say, I want to buy a truck. They're like, just one, you know? And they're like, yeah, and I want everything in it. And they're like, yeah, I'll put it in there, but you know, it's going to cost you, you know, you're better off just buying one of these trucks here and you know, that we've already got made and everything. And all the bells and whistles are in these new trucks too. It's just that it's all bells and whistles that were already put in it, you know, that were already spec'd to do that. And they're nice and everything, but it's not an owner operator truck. You know, we know the feeling, we get it. And, that's what it's all come down to, is that, even Walmart, that started out being the company that supported truck drivers, there, it's like, well, we can't really do that no more. You know, the money being made. So because we're making money. So people came in that wanted to make money and said, don't do that. You know, you don't need to do that. You can do whatever you want. You can screw those guys. You know, and so that's what's happening, is that what you see is you see more and more of the big money controlling everything. And you, as the industry, I'm not saying that, you know, you can go out there, you can go buy your truck, run some freight. That's fine. Okay? But when it comes down to the overall rules, the rules are made by the people with money. Okay? All the banking rules are made by the bankers. All the trucking rules that we see out here, they've all been drawn up and changed by the big corporations. You know, ATA, you know, it's about the trucking industry and about the shippers and or about the carriers, companies, not the drivers. And we see that. It's you know, all the rules and regulations are boiled down to be around the drivers or be to go against the drivers. They support the companies. You know, what the companies want, that's what they get. E-log mandate, that's a company thing. You know, they wanted that because they found out that there are drivers out there that are not running e-logs, and they pretty much just skate under the system. Now, they're not being unsafe. They're not having accidents, but we're over here having accidents, so we implemented e-logs to control our accidents, and they've got to be having accidents over there. Come on now, you know. Well, no, they're not. It's just that they're actually being more efficient with their time, and yeah, they might squeeze the rules a little bit, but you know, they're not doing it unsafely. You're hiring guys that they don't know what they're doing, so they're unsafe, and you just want to change the rules to make everybody drive like those guys that you want to pay nothing to drive for. That's. You know, and that's what it is the rules are getting changed, you know, and the rules are getting changed to benefit the trucking industries, the trucking companies. I mean, everything that we've seen, everything I've seen in my career in the past 20 years, the rules have not been to help the drivers at all. And there's never been any rules to go after the trucking companies. I mean, OIDA, to their benefit, they've been striving. Hey, there needs to be some type of restrictions on hiring new drivers. You need to be required to train them for a certain amount of time. And the government's like, yeah, we're not really going to do that. You know, It's not necessarily the new drivers that are the problem. It's the technology. We just need better trucks, safer trucks, that kind of thing. And you just see it. You see it over and over again to where the trucking industry is basically got taken over. We said it before. The lawyers and the Wall Street have just changed the dynamics to where the people that own the trucking companies are not the guys that would come up to us saying, I mean, the owner of a trucking company back in the day used to be one of two people. Used to be the old truck driver that knew what he was doing, and you would come in there and say, "Well, I can't do that." And he would, like, back in my day, I did it, you know. And he would be, and he knew he had a CDL. He'd been out there, right? Even when the company got up to 100, 200 trucks or 1,000 trucks, you know, some of those CEOs were still truck drivers at heart, right? Or he had the other CEO, and the one that they knew how to make money, they knew how to make deals, they knew how to sell and be salesmen. And they wanted to hire truck drivers. So they'd hire truck drivers and they'd tell the truck driver, you know, and even Walmart, even when they started hiring truck drivers, they're like, listen, we went out, we bought the trucks. You know, we went out, we bought the trailers and we went out and we created a system to where you're the driver and you can operate in this system. Here's the rules, and the rules aren't really that hard. Okay, just follow this stuff, you'll make good money. And, you know, we don't really want to control everything else. They started that way when they first started Walmart, you know, on their own. You remember those guys. You see a Walmart driver back in the day, and, you know, they were dressed like cowboys. They looked like they come off the ranch, you know, with the button-up shirt and the cowboy hat. I mean, it didn't matter where you were. Those were Walmart drivers. Nowadays, everybody's wearing, you know, every driver, even Walmart drivers. Even UPS drivers, you know, everybody's wearing their khaki shorts and their t-shirts and they're not really, you know, I mean, what do you expect? You know, they're not going to be doing much, you know. Whenever you see people, truck drivers these days, you just ask them, you know, when's the last time you changed a windshield wiper? You know, if you want something to get under your skin, you go up to a driver that asks, you know, or maybe like even now the new trucks, like I'm in a pretty new truck and you know what you can't see? The windshield washer fluid reservoir is like up under the dash, like way up under it somewhere. And the fill neck is like stretched out right there by the firewall. And you can't even tell. So the only thing you can do is just start adding fluid. And then if it overflows, it's full. So you can't even look at it and tell that you need it. You just need to grab it and start filling, and when it fills up, it's full, you know, because you can't see the reservoir, you can't see it. So the thing is that out of sight, out of mind. So really, what happens is that it doesn't, you know. So if you ever get into a truck, I mean, you know, it happens all the time where I work, where you got the windshield wipers, turn them on, push the button for the fluid, nothing comes out because there's nobody cares, you know. The other thing too is the change in the wipers. I've seen windshield wipers completely gone from trucks because nobody, you know, if it's not raining, nobody cares about the windshield wipers, you know. I mean, even owner operator, you know, we didn't really, but it was our truck. We drove that truck. Nobody else drove that truck, you know. But when you slip seat around, you kind of feel like a dork when you're driving a truck, and next thing you know, the other person gets in that truck and they're like, "What's wrong with these windshield wipers?" And you're like, what do you mean? but that's what it's come down to is nobody cares, you know? So truck driving, you know, it's becoming, like I said, being controlled by the big businesses, and they just throw things around and they're just hoping that not enough of us get sick of it and get out of it. Like right now they say driver shortage and it's not really, It's just some of us are getting out, you know, and the rest of us we've got good jobs, we're getting good money, you know. Some of us are owner-operators, we've got good customers, so we've got our niche. You'll never see those, you know, these big companies that claim they don't know where all the good drivers are, or they don't know where the drivers are. They're out there. They're staying as far away from you as they can. So if you if you're a company out there and you're like, oh, I need good drivers, it's hard to find good drivers. And goes, well, you know, I think what you need to do is look at yourself. Because if you're having a hard time finding drivers and you're even throwing out there these big, you know, signing bonuses and all that, and you still can't get people to help you out or to come over there and people that you actually want, I mean, you're going to get apps. You're going to get applications because there's tons of people out there ready to work that have CDLs. But then when you start running background checks, you're like, oh, I can't hire this guy, you know. And then you're like, where's the guys that I can hire? Where are those guys at? You know, and they got a good job, man. They're not, you know, and then they know you. They know your company. They're not coming to work for your company. You know, when they if they are out there looking for a job, they're not applying for your company. If you're the one out there looking for drivers and you say you can't find drivers, just know that. Okay, that's a little advice to all these carriers out there. You know, if you're a recruiter, if you're somewhat of in a big company and you're having a hard time, you'd say that, you know, we're not getting enough applicants, or all of our applicants, nobody is qualified, things like that. We might need to lower our standards. You need to lower your standards because that's what you're going to have to do, or raise your pay, you know, or just be better. I mean, that's what it boils down to, you know. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. If I see all these new companies out there looking for drivers to run over the road, ain't no way in hell I'd do it now. Especially in the way the money is right now, the way money is worthless these days. You need a lot of money to pay bills. You need a lot of money to buy groceries. Then you need to be paying me a lot of money. You know, I mean, when I first started, I thought that making $750 a week was awesome. You know, and it still might be pretty good today, but back then it was easy to make $750 a week as a truck driver in the 90s. It was really easy to make $750 a week, and that was good money back then. You know, these days some drivers, I think they probably still live on, I don't know, you know, but I mean, like, these days it's not hard to make make $100,000, gross as a truck driver, as a company driver. You know, used to be if you were making, you know, 30, 40, 50, if you're making $50,000 a year as a truck driver, that was pretty damn good. $60,000 a year, damn good. Well, nowadays it's 100. 100 is normal. That's just bottom line. That's, you know, these days, a person making $100,000 a year is middle class. It's, you know, just the way the government screwed up the money. And that's another story all to itself. So tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. And, didn't mean to do that. That's what happens when I get on rants. The system resets itself and I can't do anything. And I'm not sure if it's going to... You know what? Maybe we can hit this button. There we go. So, tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining in. Don't forget to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools. You can check them out at truckertools.com or download their app from your app store. And that's where you can track freight, book freight, and even book your route. If you're just a company driver, you can download Trucker Tools as a Trucker Tools app, and you can just, you know, plan your route, look for places to stop, parking, Walmarts, maintenance, fuel, whatever you need right there in Trucker Tools, Trucker Tools app. So check it out, truckertools.com is the website. And you can get the links to all that at our website, redneckandeyes.com. Appreciate everybody joining along. And like I said, what do you got to know? Is the trucking industry really, you know, done for regular truck drivers? What is your boss like? If you've got a boss, are there those guys that says, you know what, I've done that job before, and I know how to do that job. And so when we are talking about, you know, when you're having a conversation with the boss is like, let me train you, let me teach you, you know. Or do you have a boss that is one of these CEOs that's, you know, a college guy, and he's just a money guy, and he's like, you know what, whatever you need, you let me know. You're the guy. You're the truck driver here. You know more than I do. Whatever you need to get it done. Or the third option is the money guy, the CEO, that doesn't know a thing about trucking, and then he comes in there and says, well, I read a book once, and I think you're doing it wrong. There's a lot of them like that. So, as everyone's saying, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining along, and we'll be back in a second. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're live.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Somebody been shot, somebody's been abused, somebody blew up a building, somebody stole a car, somebody got away, somebody didn't get too far, yeah, they didn't get too far. Grandpappy told my pappy back in my days long, the man had to answer for the wicked thing he done. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang up high in the street. For all the people to see. That justice is one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line. Well, the guns won't set us to sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the Rainbow Saloon. We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, drinking whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. We got 6 gangsters doing dirty things.
Too much corruption and crime in the streets.
And the long arm of the law put a few more in the ground.
And I'm all to the maker and he'll settle on them.
You can bet he'll settle down. Cause justice is one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the guns won't settle, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
And we'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, baby. Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. Whiskey for my men.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. Give us a call. We're here live every weekday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call us at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. And we're talking about all things trucking and then some. and it's just life on the road and things out there going on in the world and seeing how everybody is dealing with everything. And like I said, you can give us a call right here at 515-602-9731. Check us out. Redneckandeyes.com is our website. And we're just talking about what's going on in the trucking industry and how things have changed over the years and everything like that. And, you know, every now and then we get a bit of a good news. And what I'd like to tell everybody is that today we saw, we heard, we found out that Cobra Kai on Netflix will be returning for the sixth and final season. That's right. And what we saw on there, it was season five kind of ended where we thought maybe that it was going to end. Because it kind of ended on a good thing and all that. They might have left a few things open, but it wasn't really a big cliffhangers or anything. And but they came out today where it's going to be like, to me, I think it's just going to be a gushing of just like fan stuff, like thank you to the fans. And they're going to bring as much stuff as they can back and all that stuff. Because it really, to me, I mean, I loved it. But it wasn't really because it was like, wow, you know, I mean, come on. It was high school. It started out as high school kids or maybe it started out as these 50-year-old guys that had grudges against each other. They came back into each other's lives and then they tried to manipulate kids to get on their side. And one even like, you know, it's his daughter, the other one is his son, and they switch sides and get ticked off at each other and all that. And it's really silly. All right. But it was Karate Kid, so everybody loved it. And then a couple of good messages it had, you know, with the family and, you know, family's most important, respect your parents, all that kind of stuff. And that was good. And then it came in to where, you know, these guys, remember back in the day in the Karate Kid where you had the sensei, he was the bad guy, and you come to find out he was the real bad guy. And then we had part two where they went to Okinawa and there was a bad guy there. And at the end of that movie, you know, Mr. Miyagi was like, this is not tournament, this is real life. You could die. You know, it's a bad deal and all that. And the same thing happened here toward the end of these seasons, season four, season five. It boiled over into real life. It wasn't just a tournament. And then, you know, one of the guys, he cheated. He paid off one of the refs and all this crap and la-di-da. But nobody cared. You know, it was the tournament. It's not like, you know, people are getting robbed or whatever. But you had, like, rich people, poor people, things like that. And to me, it got kind of silly. But still, it was Cobra Kai from Karate Kid, and it was awesome. And you know, at one point you had Johnny Lawrence, the character, you know, he's the badass and everything, and he was doing Uber, and that was funny. You know, it's hilarious. Every time he tries to communicate with the kids today, you know, he's always referring to, like, you know, Rat and what do you call White Snake, all these big hard rock bands, you know, and at one point at the Uber, I died laughing because the girl gets in the car and she's like, can you play some Billie Eilish? And he's like, hell yeah. And he pulls up a cassette and it's Billie Idol. And it's hilarious. It's just funny. It's stuff like that. It was just funny. It was silly, but you still loved it. And that was one of the things. To me, the acting was not very good as far, if you wanted to, like, you know, I mean, I bet you people are out there saying, oh, this is terrible because it's terrible. And I agree. It wasn't, you know, I mean, I could tell, and I'm not really that good at telling that kind of stuff, but I could tell it's kind of cheesy, you know, the way they're talking and everything. There's even some shows out there that are pretty good out there now. If you're like watching TV shows, the show is awesome. It's a spinoff of some older shows, but the acting is kind of like, oh, come on, you know, can you find somebody better, you know, or maybe make the story more interesting, a little bit more interesting. You know, the only reason I'm watching it is because of, you know, the whole nostalgia of it. So, that kind of thing. And that just tells you right there, man, it doesn't matter, man. They could do whatever they want on TV. If it's bringing back something that we loved as a kid, we don't care. You know, I mean, they even broke it down. Transformers is coming back. And, you know, we as kids, if you're around my age, Transformers were awesome. Cartoons, toys, all that. And when they came out with the movie, the first movie, we're like, yeah, you know. And now we're like, again? again. But the funny thing is they still make hundreds of millions of dollars. Those movies do. You know, they make money. Doesn't matter, right? And that's what it boils down to, is it doesn't matter. It's Transformers. You know, it's just so cool. So you could have some kind of cheesy story, you know, and it's kind of like the end of it. The first movie was end of the world could come with this one device, and we're like, okay, we stopped them. Well, there's this other device now in the second movie, you know, or there's another person, another device that's that movie, you know, and so we're like, come on, you know. It's basically what they've done is they've taken, just like the comic books, they've taken the comic book world to the movies to where they take the same characters and they say, yeah, you remember this whole string of events that nearly destroyed the universe and now we've stopped them? Well, now we've got another string of events that could destroy the universe, you know, and all this. So we're like, again? And it is, I mean, you know, and even now, when everybody's excited about the new Marvel stuff, you know, with the Iron Man saga continuing and all that, and see, it's not even Iron Man anymore. It's Ant-Man now is the main guy, you know, and everything. So that whole thing. And so I'm actually to the point where, you know, yeah, it might be cool. I mean, you know, I don't know if it'll ever be as good as, you know, it'll never do that. But man, it's fun to look at. I don't know. It's just the computers, what they do to generate the visuals that they do, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of movies we've seen back in the 80s, even the truck driving movies that we've seen, sometimes there was one, or maybe it was a car jumping or something like that. And we could say it would look so fake, you know. Well, nowadays it's all computer and it looks totally real, you know, race car crashes, motorcycle accidents. They're all done by computers now, and it's amazing what they can make things look like, you know. So yeah, you know, if you like, I don't know, sometimes watching TV is an escape in truck driving world. You know, you get there somewhere and there ain't nothing else to do. I know that a lot of drivers look forward to getting into the playoffs for the NFL. What you do is you drive all week, and then when the games start, you're like, you know, okay, where am I going to be? You know, I mean, I remember I was going to California. And I was on Interstate 40 going to Flagstaff. And I remember that, like, the way the time worked is I couldn't drive all the way to Flagstaff. I had to stop for a 10-hour break. But I did it where I made it. The way the time worked is that I got up and I drove for, like, 3 or 4 hours. And then I got to Flagstaff, to that truck stop there, what is it called, Little America right there. And I stopped there, got parked, went inside, got something to eat. And then watch football all day. Yep. And it wasn't even that big of a lounge, but it was fun. And you sit there and strike up conversations with a lot of other people, you know, the other truck drivers in there and all that. And it's a lot of fun. I always had fun. I remember that one. That was a fun day because there was a lot of Cowboy fans in there and the Cowboys were playing. And yeah, it was fun. Yeah, I don't think they won, but it was fun, you know. So drivers out there looking forward to doing that, seeing the games and everything. And that's going to happen. And that's always a good release from a stressful day out on the road where you don't really want to be. Or you might even be able to get home and see the games at home. You know, maybe go to a friend's house or whatever. Maybe your team's playing and everybody's having a party, that kind of thing. So a lot of fun. Good escape, you know, especially from the bad weather. Weather's been crazy. Got hard rain out in the west. Snowing every day in Colorado. So yeah, I need to, you know, be careful, be safe, and then all of a sudden we need to, you know, get a good release where we can get away, get somewhere where it's nice, you know. Always look forward to that when I was company driving and I could go anywhere I wanted, didn't care about how much I was getting paid or whatever. You know, I'd be up in the bad weather and I'm like, hey, got to load to Florida or Georgia or something like that where I can just get away, get out of that bad weather, you know. And that was what we did. We, you know, you look at it and you go, okay, so now you got to, kind of like you're getting ready to ride a bull. You know, you put your hat down hard, slap your face a couple of times, and like, all right, how far do I got to go to get out of this crap? Because bad weather, you know, or traffic. You know, it's like as soon as I remember Chicago, I was heading down to, it was like Alabama or Florida or something. I was in Chicago, and I was like, well, as soon as I get on the other side of Louisville, everything will be easy. And I was right. So, because Indiana was crazy, you know, places like that, it brings back good memories, brings back bad memories. You got to twist and turn like traffic. Oh, my God. What am I doing? Why am I here? But, yeah. What else is going on in the news? I saw. So there was still. They're still going on in Indiana where they're going to try to eliminate the lower speed limit on big trucks in Indiana. And that's probably going to me, I don't see how you can oppose that. The Indiana Trucking Association opposes it. And why? Just like I was talking about. They're controlled by the carriers. Okay? The carriers don't want faster trucks. They're all governed at 65. Okay? So that means they want a lower speed limit so they can make everybody run 65. They don't want it to where people can go, the other truck drivers can go faster than them. That's why they support a governor, you know, governors on all the trucks. They support that. They support the national speed limit to be low because they know that going slower, it helps fuel mileage. We know that. It's just common sense. Okay? But we still, I mean, when somebody's paying you a lot of money to get the freight there as soon as possible, then that kind of goes out the window. And, of course, you got other truck drivers, they can't go that slow. They're never going to do it. They'll drive themselves broke, wasting fuel, driving faster. So there'll always be those cases. And it's not necessarily unsafe because, you know, going 70, 75, 80 miles an hour in good conditions is not unsafe. It's when you're driving too fast for conditions. That's the rule you should always look at is too fast for conditions. Whenever you look at an accident caused, you know, and they say speeding was not a factor. Well, they probably weren't going faster than the speed limit, but were they going too fast for conditions? You know, because when it's raining, you shouldn't be going too fast. When it's snowing, you definitely shouldn't be going too fast. If it's iced up and all that, heavy traffic, things like that. And that's what, you know, that's what we see. The speed limits, you know, I don't even know if I know a lot of the speed limits because, like I said, you're always going to want to maintain a speed. If you got your own truck, you want to maintain the speed to get good fuel mileage. If you're in a company truck, you're going whatever the truck goes. You know, most of them are only going about 65, 70 at the most. So when they talk about, you know, speed limits in the trucking industry of that state opposes it. It's the shipper or the what do you call it, the carriers? You know they don't want to, you know they don't want everybody else to have as much freedom as they do, or as they don't. So yeah. Let's see. A lot of it is, you know, sometimes when you look at trucking news, it upsets you sometimes because you always want to get like the details of generalized conditions of the industry, but it overwhelms you with a lot of these individual accidents and it's really heartbreaking. You know, overturn, truck involved. In Florida, a young kid got hit by a truck in a crosswalk. It's terrible. And, well, this is funny. So this made Fox News, and it's a basketball. It's a Dallas Mavericks. And I guess the player shows up in a fully loaded six-wheel truck. And let's see. This is going to make some noise. I'm going to get it muted here. There we go. And I was going to see if they got some maybe photos. There's a Twitter video, and then there's like a news report. So we'll see if I see it, what it looks like. That's not that one. There we go. It's a Jeep. Oh yeah. So it's a Jeep with dual drives is what it is. And in the video that's a crappy video. And this other one ain't no good either. So, Quick bait. The basketball player. I don't even know where he's from. But basically, it's a Jeep, and instead of having four, it's got four wheels in the back. So the question that you ask is that does it have tandems? Are they all drives? Or one of the axles just kept along for the ride for the look of it. But that's all it is. It's just a big Jeep. And ain't nothing special. You know, they say truck. You know, that's one of the things I think as truck drivers, what we need to do is we need to correct this term truck. Okay? I know Texas kind of messed it up for us a little bit because... I don't even know if I don't think Texas does it anymore, but it used to. If you had a pickup truck, okay, in the state of Texas, you would get a license plate that said Texas truck. I don't know who did that. I'd like, you know what, that might be something to look into. But, I mean, so it said Texas truck, but it's pickup, you know. And, hey, if you're not a truck driver, that's a truck, right? And the problem is we see it all the time, truck, right? We hate the news because they always say, you know, there's an accident and the truck driver was killed, or the car was hit by a truck, or, you know, people were all run over by a truck. And then you go in and look and it was, you know, a Ford pickup or a Chevy Silverado or whatever, you know. So, and then now they're even getting it to where it was an SUV. You know, it was a Tahoe or a Suburban, you know, or even now they're getting into it where it's a 4Runner or something. You know, anything that's not a car, they'll call a truck. And us in the trucking industry, we hate that because they always, the truck driver. Wait a minute, what? So you go in and you look and it's like, well, no, he was the driver of the pickup, you know. So there ought to be some kind of, like, I don't know. I mean, as the industry, we need to kind of stick up for that. We need to say, hey, the term truck driver means something. Okay. Don't sit there and say anybody that drives something other than the car is, no, that's not how it is. Okay. And also the word truck, you know, I mean, we say big truck, the word truck itself is always, you know, and always use the word truck is always used in reference to a pickup or anything like that. And like even Jeep, I mean, if I was a Jeep owner and I saw this guy in this Jeep and they called it a truck, I'd be pissed because it's not a truck. It's a Jeep. So yeah, man, we gotta nip that in the butt real quick. I always hate it. I'm the one of the first ones to comment on anything on Facebook or Twitter when their article has the headline of something with a truck. And then I go in and I look, it's not a truck. And I'm like, you need to fix that. That's wrong. Okay. The word truck should be used only in reference to 18-wheelers. Okay. And the term truck driver should never be used other than somebody with a CDL. That's, you know, bottom line. Okay. If he's a dually pulling an RV, technically not a truck driver, but he might be because he might have a CDL, you know. But a pickup truck, especially if it's a 3/4 ton pulling a big dually or pulling a big gooseneck RV, that kind of deal. Yeah, definitely not, you know, because that's one thing we learn as truck drivers is that the vehicle itself, the power unit, is the most important thing. And if you've got a really small power unit pulling an oversized trailer that you can't handle, then the power unit is not, you know. We did that in Redneck and I's. We had an issue where we had a dually, and the dually was not, it was overheating, and we were concerned pulling a big, it was a pull behind trailer. But it was large. It was huge, big trailer. And, it was just an issue. We were concerned. And so we did have a Toyota pickup truck, regular four-wheel drive Toyota. and said, you know what, let's use that. And it handled it. I mean, it's not anything I would, none of us said. Now, that's not something you just do on a daily basis. That was an emergency circumstances. And it did good. Everything was fine. But it was one of those things where, nah, it's scary. You know, we shouldn't be doing that. And so if you do see that, so what we did there, what we learned from that, what I learned from that circumstance is that if you do see a regular pickup pulling a oversized trailer, a large trailer, maybe a three-axle car hauler or anything like that, that when you see the truck, obviously it might be like what we hate is we hate it when it's overloaded, when the truck maybe has a compressed springs on the back and it kind of lifts up the front a little bit. We don't like that. You know, we don't like that look because it looks like it's being overloaded. So if you ever do see that, so that's what I've learned from that is that if I ever saw that, I would give the person the benefit of the doubt as they're just trying to get that trailer home or off the road or somewhere safe. They're not, that's not what they actually intended to do. And maybe you see something and say, you know what, they're an idiot. You know, they're traveling long distances or whatever, you know, it's something that you see, license plates or maybe they've got something hooked up to it or something different. But benefit of the doubt is that when you see a truck that shouldn't be pulling that trailer, I'm just going to say, you know what, they're probably just trying to get that home because they had a problem, you know, or it was emergency. I'm not going to, you know, not going to say that they shouldn't be doing that at all because there are circumstances that happen and you got to get things done. So that's Redneck and I's. When things happen, you get it done, no matter what. So that's what I'm going to say with all that. And I just hope everybody else out there understands that things happen. You got to get it done. So get it done. Okay. It's not necessarily something we want to do like on a repetitive basis. We don't want to make it a habit, that kind of thing. But a lot of times when you need to get something done, you got to get it done. Bottom line to it. And that's how we come up with Redneck and I's, is that when things got to get done, you get it done. And you come up with a way to get it done. You think of a way to get it done. You think outside the box. You think like a redneck. Hey, let's get it done. So I'll leave you with that. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Well, let's see here. What am I doing? Yeah, see? That happened again. Let me see if this connects it. It does. It's funny how that works. There you go. Cool. So everybody have a great weekend out there. And like I said, I'm going to leave you with that. I got to get to work. So have a good time and have a great weekend. Football is all weekend. 2 games Saturday, 2 games Sunday. Basketball is on too. So it might be pretty interesting, entertaining. I mean, this guy here, he showed up to a basketball game in a 6-wheel Jeep. So you never know. So check it out. Everybody have a great time. Watch out for the weather out there. Be safe and take care of each other and watch out for each other and everything. So we'll leave you at that. This is Redneck and I's Radio, and we're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call us up, 515-602-9731. Go check out our website, redneckandi's.com. Appreciate all of our sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com, and also Load to Ride at ltrtransportation.com. That's Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. We appreciate all their support. So we'll see you guys Monday for sure. Yep. At 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 515-602-9731 is the number to call. Check us out, redneckandi's.com, to all the links of our social media accounts. We appreciate everybody doing that. Don't forget to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. We appreciate it. All right, you guys, stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road. Let it go. Where we got the money, let it go.
we let it rain. Well, we got the money, let it go. Yeah, we got the dancing in the wild. Yeah, but that's the way we get down. Ooh, we let it rain. Well, we got the money, let it go. Yeah, we got the dancing in the wild. Yeah, but that's the way we get down.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandI's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's.